All right, welcome everyone to tonight's call. And what we're going to talk about finally, I've been kind of hinting at this for over a month, and I'm excited to teach it, is talking about reducing self-defeating behaviors, right? Something we all could get better at. And so this is, I didn't write who the book was by, and now I can't remember. But the book was called Self-Defeating Behaviors. And so you can look it up. It's kind of an older book. The guy was, he's a psychiatrist. So anyways, let's kind of hop right into it. Basically, a self-defeating behavior is any behavior that sabotages the thing that you're trying to accomplish. And so we all understand what this means. And so again, on one hand, right, you really want to do something. And yet then sometimes we figure out a way to kind of sabotage it and defeat ourselves by continuing to do other behaviors, you know, that bring us in the other direction. And so I think the way to understand it is that it's really kind of an unconscious process, right? And so if you think about the unconscious mind, you've heard me say that behind every behavior, there's a positive intention, right? Our unconscious mind never does things to hurt us. It does things to help us, right? And so the job of the unconscious mind is to protect us from harm or discomfort, right? And so how do we square that, you know, with behaviors that bring us in the wrong direction? And it's basically because the unconscious mind creates a conclusion that the self-defeating behavior is actually limiting the amount of pain, tension, or responsibility we must bear, right? So real simple, the behavior that we're doing in the moment is to help us, right? But again, in the long run or in a different way, it's actually hurting us, right? And so again, we understand what that means. We're going to break down how to change that. And so there's basically two key types of consequences from self-defeating behaviors. The first one's physical, right? We all can understand that, right? We were snacking at night or overeating, choosing the wrong foods. And so the physical, and by the way, obviously these self-defeating behaviors aren't just related to weight and health, right? They're all over the place. But even in pretty much any case, there's always a physical and the psychic part that's coming up. So physical, right? So the weight, health, discomfort, tired, our body being sore, whatever it may be, the physical consequence is pretty obvious, but there's also the psychic one. And again, I always feel like they're both equally consequential, but we tend to focus so much on the physical one. So I will tell you that typically when you're looking to get some leverage on yourself, if you focus in on the psychic, right? And so psychic, I'm always using the words mental and emotional. I'm going to break down a little bit more, but basically if you focus in on the psychic, I think you'll find that there's more opportunity to motivate yourself, right? And so some of the psychic consequences can be loneliness, shame, loss of self-respect, alienation, guilt, frustration. We've gone through those negative emotions so many times, and that's what we're talking about. So those are the two key types of consequences that they create. So basically three characteristics of self-defeating behaviors, right? So basically it's an action or attitude that has once worked to help an individual cope with a hurtful experience, but that now works against them to keep them from responding to a new moment of life in a healthy way. Now, he uses the phrase new moment of life as, you know, basically the present, right? Each moment is technically, it's a new moment of life, but a lot of times we're on autopilot, right? And so once we have a new moment of life, we have learned how to respond to that sometimes with our self-defeating behaviors. And so once we've done that a couple times, it starts to just kick in on autopilot, right? And so another characteristic is it's never the best behavior that could be used in a particular situation, right? And so this is a real important point because this is so crucial. It's subtle, but it's so, so important. So often we can identify self-defeating behaviors, right? We're pretty good at that. But typically what we tend to do is we say, okay, I have to stop that self-defeating behavior. When what is a much more effective approach is to say, what is a better behavior in this situation? Okay, so we've talked about that before, and it's the same approach we want to use here, okay? It's not just stopping is not enough, right? We can't just create a vacuum. We're doing that behavior for a reason. And so we need to understand what that reason is and find a better behavior. That's the best path to creating change. And then finally, eventually it guarantees the consequences that the individual is trying to avoid in practicing it. Okay. So it literally creates the thing that we're looking to avoid. And so these are the three characteristics of self-defeating behaviors. So two techniques for maintaining self-defeating behaviors. And this is really interesting. So again, I think we can all appreciate on a level that what our behaviors may be. But this is where it gets interesting. Basically, in order to continually have self-defeating behaviors, we have to employ one or the other, or both, where we're either minimizing or disowning to avoid the full consequences of the behavior. Okay. And so when we start to understand this is where it gets interesting, because this is a way that we, it's almost like a denial, right? And there's levels of it. We're going to go through it in a little more detail here. But in order for us to continue maintaining self-defeating behaviors, we have to do one or the other or both of these things. Otherwise, the full effect and consequence of what we're doing becomes painful. We're connected to the pain of it, and we tend to stop it. Okay, so the first one I talk about is minimizing, right? And so, again, you're going to notice you do some of these things. I do some of these things, right? So the more you can recognize where you're doing this, how you're doing this, the greater your chance gets to be able to change it. Okay, and so the first way is we kind of ignore the price of our behavior, right? We minimize it. And so when it comes to food, right? I mean, we all do this, right? So this is, oh, that ice cream is not going to matter. Right? And so again, we kind of minimize the effect it's going to have on us. And that allows us to go through the behavior. Comparing, right? And so this could be, well, you know, I'm only eating a pint of ice cream. I could eat the whole gallon, right? Or, you know, look, there's people that are, you know, 300 pounds heavier than they want to be. And I'm only X amount of pounds heavier than I want to be. Okay. And so it makes us feel a little bit better, allows us to do the behavior. Joking about it, right? This is very, very common. You know, so again, what I'm saying is you want to identify this. A lot of times you may not even realize you were doing this until you kind of go through this. You know, this was very enlightening to me to go through some of the ways that we do this, some of the ways that I do this in different areas of my life. And so joking's a big one, right? Kind of the self-deprecating, you know, person who wants to lose weight is uncomfortable with their weight. And so they make jokes about it. Right. And that's harmful in so many ways. Right. But one of the specific ways it's harmful is that it allows you to disassociate from the pain and the consequence that that behavior is causing you. Okay. Numbing, right? Now, again, numbing, ironically, right? We can just start using more food. We eat the food and we focus on the pleasure of the food. We look forward to the food all day long because it's a numbing practice. It numbs us from whatever pain we may be feeling, whatever, you know, discomfort we may be feeling. Okay. And then nihilizing, right? Basically, who cares? Nothing matters anyways. Right. So again, if you notice this stuff, if you're doing any of this, it's not about beating yourself up. It's just about noticing that it is a technique. It's a technique that you employ in order to cover up for the self-defeating behavior. Right. And so we all know this because there's sometimes when you don't do this stuff, right. And those moments are, to be honest, they're kind of few and far between. You know, I get a lot of them with people because I do a lot of calls. And so we get right to the heart of it. You know what I mean? And we look at the behavior without any of this stuff. And it's a very interesting experience. And some of you, you know, I've done this with you. And so when you really are present with that behavior that you want to change, and you're not just saying, oh, I got to stop it. But you really kind of look at what the effect of it is on you without doing these things. It's a very intense experience, right? Because it's really like, wow, I don't want to do this to myself, you know? And you feel the full effect, the full weight of what this does to you, okay? So if you find yourself doing these things, again, we're going to go through steps to change it in a moment, but that's always the first step, right? What do I tell you? The first step is always just awareness, just becoming aware of what we're doing and how we're doing it. And so again, this kind of goes a level deeper. Again, we always focus on our behaviors. We're aware of what our behaviors are, but it's like, what's the structure underneath that allows us to maintain those behaviors? And here you go. Here's one of them, minimizing it. And so the next one, and this is the more intense one. And as he says in the book, minimizing is what we initially do. And if that doesn't work, what always works is disowning. Right. And so disowning is a systematic process of blaming a person, institution, or something that we just can't control for our behaviors. Right. So this happens all the time. Right? We do this. I'm sure you can recognize times in your life when you do this. I certainly can. But we blame other people. Right. It's my parents' fault. You know, they raised me and we always, you know, ate a bunch of ice cream every night. Right. Now, again, don't get me wrong, by the way. There is a reality to things, right? That people could be, you know, they may be responsible for some of the challenges that you're experiencing now. But you have to step into your own power and take control of it. Disowning is almost, it's almost like a denial in a sense, right? It's almost like a complete disassociation. And the conversation is so often about blaming other people or, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, that we never get involved with the conversation about, well, what can I do to change? What can I do to create the results that I want? You see what I mean? So it's very insidious, both of these, minimizing. Again, I think we all recognize some, to a certain degree, when we do that, the disowning one is real serious, because a disowning one is one that we don't even recognize a lot of times. It's something that oftentimes we've been doing it for so long that it's kind of just become part of the wallpaper. We don't even recognize that we do it anymore. Okay, so I think these are even more powerful if you can recognize these. So another one is fragmentizing our minds and our bodies. And so again, we compartmentalize things and we disassociate them, right? And so it can become, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I eat. Nothing's gonna change anything. Okay. And we disassociate. And I hear that a lot. And people say, well, I've tried every diet and there's nothing matters. I've eaten perfectly and I haven't lost any weight, you know? And that's a form of disowning. You know, there's just no way. You know what I mean? Maybe it's going to take a little bit longer, but there's no way that if you change your life drastically that you're not going to get some effects physically, you know? And yet I hear people say that pretty regularly. And why? Again, they're looking to protect themselves. So I'm not doing this. You understand this. This content that I'm talking about tonight, it's not in a beat yourself up, oh, you know, you jerk, look what you're doing. It's, we all do this to a certain degree, and we want to catch ourselves. Because especially this disowning part, because it's so subtle, and for so many of us, we've been doing it for so long that we don't realize we're doing it. Okay. Capitalizing on social, political, or economic inequalities, you know? So, again, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't have the money to eat the right foods, right? I can only afford junk food, you know, socially, right? Again, social things. Again, like I said, this is more, this book was more of a kind of psychiatrist. So it was a more general thing. But if we bring it into health and into weight, you know, again, yeah, economic stuff. I've heard people say that, you know, I can't afford good foods. Socially, you know, none of my friends eat that way. I don't have any of these, you know, I don't have any good restaurants around me. I don't have any good food around me. Right. Again, it's kind of a social commentary on that, where instead of searching for answers, we kind of just accept, you know, the problem as it is. And then we want to stop doing that. Embracing fatalistic conclusions again, right? That kind of goes back to the idea of it doesn't matter. No matter what I do, I can't lose weight. Right? I've tried everything; nothing works. Right, and so we disown it. Right, it's this. We just say that, we just leave it there, and then we just go about our day as if that's the truth, and that's the end of it. And it's one. That's why what makes it so insidious, really, you know, is that we could say that thing, and then we just kind of sit there with it. And then we just move on and we never question it. We never look for solutions. Right. And so if you're doing this, right, again, first is to recognize it. And then is to, I think one of the best ways to do it is to start questioning that. You know, is it really true? Okay. Yes. My parents, you know, we used to eat terrible growing up and that wasn't a great start, but does that mean that I have to eat that way for the rest of my life? You know, I don't have a ton of money, so I can't afford, you know, maybe I think I can't afford the finest foods, but maybe I should look into that first. Maybe I'll research a little bit and see if that's true or not. It's not true, by the way, because I can tell you some of the cheapest foods in the market, beans are great for you. Vegetables, you know, very inexpensive, right? So people look at organic, like, I don't know, fruits and vegetables, and I don't know that they think everything's really expensive. But I can tell you for a fact, because I do it, I've eaten both ways. Eating vegetables, brown rice, beans, chickpeas, you know, the salad, vegetables, fruits, they're really not that expensive. So, you know, again, I've heard that a lot, and that's not necessarily true. So again, begin questioning these things, right? Because otherwise, they start to reinforce our negative behaviors. Okay, so trigger patterns, right? So we know about triggers, right? And so basically it's any set of events or condition that cause us to move away from the road to break through and to carry out a familiar cycle of self-defeat. So we know all about triggers. And so basically three components of a trigger pattern, you know, time of day, week, month, or year, right? So the time's a big one. situations or locations, the environment, right? That's a huge impact on us. Okay. So again, when we recognize it's all about analyzing, you know what I mean? It's all about always paying attention to what's going on. And even when we act in the wrong way, even when we're practicing a self-defeating behavior, what we want to get in the practice of is not disassociating in that moment. You see, so often when we're doing the quote unquote bad behavior, we kind of disappear. We can't take it that we're doing that. Well, you want to start getting good at doing the negative behavior and still being present, being like, what's going on here? You know, what time of day is it that I typically do this? Time of week, month, year? What situations or environments am I in, you know, where I start to trigger this behavior? Okay. And then finally, you know, kind of in whose company, you know? And so these are some of the big ones. And then there's other ones other than that, you know? So you want to look for the triggers that trigger the self-defeating behavior. Okay. Because the more you understand it, the more you can find more elegant and better solutions for you. All right. Seven steps for change. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So the first one, again, right? What we just talked about, identify specifically the behavior that's causing the problem. Right. And so for some people it might be evening snacking. Right. So again, we kind of start with that. What is the behavior? Then we start to recognize, kind of go out from there, where, when, who, you know, when is this happening? What is triggering it? Right. It could be emotional as well. Right. So what I mean by that is that maybe it's when you get angry. Right? As soon as you get angry, I don't care. And you start eating. And, you know, it could be any time of day, any place, or with anyone. It could be the anger that sets it off. So again, these are some of the major categories, when, where, who, but there can also be other triggers sometimes. And sometimes they can be real strange. So again, you want to be like a detective or kind of investigator and just pay attention. You know, what's triggering this? What's going on when I'm typically doing that behavior? And question it, you know, because it's a big part of the solution. Identify the specific inner, outer, minimizing and disowning techniques that are used to put the behavior into practice. Okay. So if you, if it's snacking at night, what you may notice. And so again, we've studied this stuff where we've talked about this before. This is just a little bit more of a specific way to look at it. So again, there's an internal dialogue that's going on that leads us to the behavior, right? The evening comes and we say, oh man, I'm going to eat some cookies. And then the little voice comes up and says, yeah, but we want to lose some weight. Right? That's not what we want to do. And another voice comes in and says, yeah, but it's not going to matter anyways. Who cares? Nothing works for us. Right. Or we say, so what? It's just a couple cookies. Big deal. I'll start tomorrow. You see what I mean? So again, it's the content, what those minimizing and disowning techniques are. A lot of times those are the content of the internal dialogue. It's what that voice in your head is saying that is allowing you, you know, kind of giving you free rein to do the behavior. Okay. And so you want to start recognizing that, because if you're minimizing, right, what you want to start doing is stop doing that and start to recognize the full effect of the behavior. And so one way to do that, by the way, again, you can almost think about it as maximizing. But what you can do is, that's why we always talk about long-term, right? So it's like, well, if I eat that ice cream tonight, you know, and I continue to eat that ice cream or eat those cookies every night this year, where am I going to be at a year from now? That's a way to maximize. But it's really not maximizing. It's just, it's kind of just a more honest view. It's a truthful view. So I don't like to say maximizing, because we don't want to exaggerate things, but we don't want to minimize them either, right? So we want to see them for what we truly think they are. And so one way to do that is to kind of expand the time frame that we talked about. Another way is to, again, kind of tap into the psychic, right? We've talked about that. So, maybe I'll have some cookies tonight. Well, what is going to be the mental and the emotional effect of that behavior on you in 1 hour? Okay. And so again, we want to connect, right? So basically minimizing and disowning are disassociation techniques. They disassociate us from the consequence. And so in order to kind of reverse that, we want to associate to the consequences. And, you know, that'll help us. And so the first step is kind of recognizing, you know, how do you minimize? How do you disown? And once you recognize the specific strategy you use, it gets easier to figure out what the solutions are. Catch the behavior while it's being practiced, right? So that's what we were just talking about. Don't disassociate from it. It's hard not to do that, right? Because once we're sitting there, eating the ice cream, you know what I hear a lot? They finally say, okay, forget it. I'm just going to eat it. I'm just going to eat some ice cream. I'm just going to eat some cookies. And then what happens is they just pound the ice cream and pound the cookie because they just want to get it over with because they feel so guilty while they're doing it, right? So there's always something about while we're doing the quote-unquote wrong thing, it's very difficult to be present in that moment because we feel guilty, we feel ashamed, we feel bad about ourselves. And so we want to stop doing that because part of what's going to help you get through that for good is to be able to be present while you're doing those things. And again, kind of catch the behavior while it's being practiced. There's all sorts of important information that's going on there. And so just let it go, right? You're gonna do the wrong thing sometimes. That's just natural. What's going to help you get past that and help you to do less and less of that is to be present in the moment, kind of pay attention, you know, what's going on with it. Develop replacement techniques, right? So again, that's kind of on two levels. Replacement techniques in terms of don't minimize and don't disown, right? So that inner technique is the minimizing and disowning. We want to stop doing that, as I was just saying. Again, I like to think as minimizing and disowning, the inner side of it is that we're disassociating from the behavior. So we want to associate to it. The outer techniques are, what are some alternatives? What are some behaviors that would serve me better in this situation? Okay. And so in the evening, at a call yesterday, we were talking about evening eating. And so one of the reasons the evening routine was going on is that the person was stressed. And so they were looking for relaxation through a glass of wine, you know, and people do this all the time through food. Okay. So again, the inner technique is to connect to the, to associate to and say, this wine and these cookies are not relaxing me. At the end of the day, they're actually making me more stressed. I feel worse about myself tomorrow. They're putting more weight on me. They make me feel worse about myself. And so we want to connect to that. And that's the inner technique of change. The outer technique becomes, okay, instead of drinking wine and eating a cookie, I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to sit for a few minutes and just relax. I'm going to take a hot bath. I'm going to draw. I'm going to read. Okay. And that, those are the outer techniques. And so we create better techniques for ourselves to rely upon. Right. And so we've talked about that. So that's not unusual. That's not new for you. And these last two are, again, this is kind of psychology information, but this is good. But again, you want to analyze the confusion and fears because you're going to have these. It's confusing. I was saying this to my daughter last night that she was learning some stuff in school and she was getting frustrated. But one of the things I learned that was so profound to me when I was doing my NLP training is that when you're learning new things, like truly learning something new, you have to go through a phase of confusion. Right? Because if you didn't go through that phase of confusion, it means you're not actually learning. It means you already kind of knew it. You know what I mean? So anytime we're going to learn something new, we have to go through some confusion. And again, confusion and not knowing creates fear in us. Okay? So that is a natural part of change. You have to go through it in order to get to the other side. It's not a big deal. And so again, kind of analyzing it and being present with the confusions and fears and just letting them go. It's just a natural part of of change. And same with this one here, acknowledging setbacks and breakthroughs. Okay. They're both part of this whole path that you're on. And again, I applaud you for being on this path. It's easier, ironically, to just stay on the same path and keep doing the same stuff and keep feeling the same crappy feelings. It's hard to do new stuff. Our brain loves certainty so much that most of the time it will prefer certainty than it will to creating a life we want that's better, but that's a little bit of an unknown, right? And so that's always encapsulated in this phrase, people prefer a known hell to an unknown heaven. Our brains really crave certainty. So again, I applaud you for being on this journey. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable. It can be frustrating sometimes, but if you stay on it, you're going to get to a better place. Okay. And that path is guaranteed. That path, as long as you stay on it, is always going to have setbacks and it's always going to have breakthroughs. Okay. And so you recognize that and you're okay with it. And then finally, effective replacement techniques are often discovered rather than developed. I really love that he wrote this because I found this to be true as well. And what I mean by this is so often we say, okay, let me figure out the perfect plan and then I'll implement it. And I think that's the complete backwards approach. And so I was happy to read this, that a lot of times the solutions you come up with, it's like that's why you need persistence. That's why you need to just keep walking this path, because the solutions in the replacement techniques, the effective replacement techniques, they just kind of fall out of the sky sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a logical straight line is what I'm trying to say. You just have to stay on this path And if you keep doing it and you keep doing the proper way and you keep working all the things we talk about, the solutions come to you, you know, but again, we can't just, it would be great to just sit down and just figure out a perfect plan and then just follow it. And I think that's what all of us really would love to have. But unfortunately, some people, that's what they really want before they're going to take any action. And a lot of times it's just not how it goes. You know, you got to start walking the path and the solutions, you know, are along the path, but it's unpredictable, you know. And then finally, the second sentence, they tend to be revealed when a person focuses on capability, desire, or interest that has been part of their life all along. And what that means to me is that when it's focused on not what we have to stop doing and what we want to stop being, but instead when we keep focusing on who we want to be, how we want to live, you know, the results we want to experience and achieve. So that's another way in my mind to say when we focus on our ideal self-image and when we keep ourselves focused on the solutions rather than the problems and the person we don't want to be. Okay. So I think that's, I agree 1,000% with that. And I wanted to share that with you. So I hope you enjoyed that. Again, it's been something, I don't know. It's been interesting. I love the minimizing and disowning stuff. I found that ever since I read that, I found that to be so valuable. So I hope you find that as well. Cool. So, all right. So Pat says, I need this. Right. I know. I think we all need this. I love it, you know, because again, it's funny. Like when you look at areas of your life, any areas of your life that you may struggle with, you're going to find those things there. And so it can be really, really helpful. Again, because we get so caught up on the behavior itself, right? It can be harder to see the deeper structures of what's going on. And so I think that does help it. Right. Yeah. Connie, right. Cookies and chocolate are harmful, but ice cream is essential. So that's so funny, right? But that's what I mean. And by the way, I should have mentioned that a lot of the things, the techniques we use, disowning and especially disowning is okay. So I should have mentioned this stuff. The disowning one, especially the minimizing one, we do somewhat consciously, but the disowning ones we do very unconsciously. And so that means that they're very, non-logical. You know what I mean? Like, so they don't make a lot of sense. And so kind of, I'm glad I know you were joking, but it's like, that's the type of stuff. That's the disowning level. It's very unconscious. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's kind of like when we say, oh, it doesn't matter what I do, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to help me, you know? And, that's not true. Right. But again, when it's unconscious, we could kind of say that. So, anyways, what I'm saying is when you realize a disowning thing you're saying to yourself, a lot of times it's crazy to your logical mind, but it's there and it's influencing us. All right. So, All right. So, Jolene says, so when you're in the moment of really wanting to eat something like chocolate or ice cream and have a choice, how do you stop to make the right choice? Okay. So that's a good one. Now, what I want to point out is that I'm never a huge fan of right in the moment, putting all that pressure of being right in the moment to make the right choice. You know, so what I mean by that is that I myself, it's like, I would love to, I want to make the right choice in the moment. And that's my goal. But I'm also, the majority of me says, I don't care, because if I don't make the right choice, I'm going to go back in time and I'm going to replay it and I'm going to figure out what the right choice would be. Okay. So I just wanted to make that point. But okay, so how do you do it in the right moment? Because by the way, too, the reason I said, Jolene, is that in the moment, you're in a specific state, you're thinking in a very specific way. So it's kind of like, I think of it this way. It's like if you, I don't know. Okay, I'll give you an example. My daughter, Rachel, she's driving me crazy with this. But so she wanted to be in a play and she had to sing a song. Now, she never really practices singing. Right. But I said, well, if you want to be in the play and you want to sing in the chorus and be good, you probably should practice singing. Right. But she goes, well, I did practice. I got the song 2 days ahead of time and I practiced it, you know, both days like crazy. So what I'm saying is this, that a lot of times we tend to think, okay, in the moment, I'm just going to make the right decision. But if we haven't prepared ourselves, it's really unlikely it's going to happen. So that's what I'm saying, Julia. I put more value into the preparation than I do in the moment. In the moment, I basically am going to do what I've practiced and prepared for. Okay. That being said, so in the moment, what I would rather do is I would say in the moment of really wanting to eat something like chocolate or ice cream, say I ate the chocolate or ice cream, I would look back and say, okay, how'd that happen? How could I have avoided that? You have much more access to your resource and all the rest of it. Now, if you've done that a number of times, the next moment that comes up and you're really wanting one of those things, you've got some strategies that you've already rehearsed and planned out. And ideally, you want to prevent that whole thing. Does that make sense? You know? So again, we're always looking for prevention, you know, over the cure. And the cure is the willpower. That's kind of what you're asking here. But okay, but there are some strategies you can use. So the first one, what I would suggest is, when you're in the moment of really wanting something to eat, like chocolate or ice cream, the one thing you can use that really works well scientifically is to say, I'm going to wait a little bit, I'll have some later. That seems to work well, because 20 minutes from now, you will probably find that you don't really care about it. And at the moment when you say, I'm going to have some a little bit later, it's like, it's not saying no, so you're not getting the full weight of that deprivation. It's kind of like, okay, I can put it off for a little bit. And so it makes it easier. And this, again, this is scientifically proven. So that's one technique you can use. Another one, though, is that I would already have it pre-planned. Again, remember, so much of our life is just on autopilot. And that chocolate and ice cream, you're going to find, if you look at it, it's almost always in the same situations, right? Maybe it's always after dinner. Maybe it's after in the afternoon. So again, there's a lot of structure to it. And so what I would like to say is I'd like to avoid it before it even kind of comes up, because a lot of times we're thinking about that chocolate or ice cream the night before. You understand what I'm saying? But okay. So in the moment, oh yeah, Pat's asking if I can show the last screen. I can show, can I show that? Actually, you know what I'll do? Let me put that there for you so you can see it. So I hope that helps you, Julie. I don't know. Yeah. So again, I would work ahead of time, so you don't even get into that. Cause what you're asking is being in a state of wanting that and then being able to say no. And so I prepare myself for it. So I hope that helps you. Connie says, actually, my doctor prescribed a statin to reduce my bad cholesterol. A statin is 10 milligrams of calcium. Can I substitute ice cream? Yeah. Well, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, but probably 10 milligrams ice cream. Sure. How much would that be? Probably not too much. Pat says, I think you have to plan ahead if you know you'll be in a stressful situation. It's very hard to stop right in the middle. Yeah, exactly, Pat. That's exactly the point that I'd like to make. But okay, so Jolene, I want to give you a specific one, because yeah, sometimes you're in the moment, you didn't prepare, whatever. So what I like to do is chocolate or ice cream. I say, how am I going to feel as soon as I'm done in 1 hour? How am I going to feel if I do that? You know, and so I start there. And then again, I like to have a replacement behavior. It can be literally anything. What I mean by that is, like, literally you could drink a glass of water. You got to do something typically, right? Nature abhors a vacuum, or mind abhors a vacuum. And so I would say that what you want to do is, you think about chocolate, you think about ice cream, is say, I'll have some later if I still want some. How am I going to feel in an hour if I eat it right now? I'm going to feel kind of down. I let myself down. What would I like to do instead? Let me drink some water. Let me grab a piece of fruit, just something healthy. And if I still want some, I'll have some later. Again, that works really well. So that's what I would suggest for that. All right, Pat says, Connie, I just read that people with high LDL over the age of 60-something live longer. Yeah, that is right. That cholesterol stuff is all over the place. So, you know, Connie, I've talked about my whole cholesterol story. And I don't know, you know, it's what they're finding, right? As I talked to my doctor about this too, but, you know, it's hard to understand this, but all that stuff, cholesterol, just all the science of all that really is in its beginning phases. And what's happening is they're getting more and more specific about the types of cholesterol, the specific situation that cholesterol is showing up in, and on and on. So, yeah, I don't know. The cholesterol makes me crazy. All right, cool. So, yeah, it looks like if you guys have any more questions, you can add them in. Okay, so let me talk about something, because there's some changes. Oh, yeah, Pat says, okay, sometimes when I'm really stressed, I just say it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's right. And that's so okay. So let's talk about this for a second, because this drives the point home. Sometimes when I'm really stressed, I just say it doesn't matter. So what a lot of people will do in that case, that, you know what, they also say, well, sometimes when I'm really hungry, I don't care what I eat. Okay. So when you're really hungry, you're not going to care what you eat. When you're really stressed, you're never going to care what you eat. When you're really drunk, you're not going to care what you eat. When you're wicked tired, you don't care what you eat. When you're dehydrated, it's hard to control what you eat. You got, right? When you're malnourished and you're not eating any nourishment, you guess what? You know, you don't care what you eat. So you see what I mean? You can't expect that you're going to be able to put yourself into these negative states and be able to control what you're doing. You understand what I'm saying? Because some people want to do that. I always talk about this. So, you know, where's the problem with eating? Well, it's in the afternoon. You know, I do great all day, and then the afternoon, I just eat everything. Okay, well, what do you eat in the morning? What do you eat at lunch? Nothing. Okay, well, that's not a good plan, because you're going to get so hungry that you're going to override your whole body. It's literally like trying to hold your breath. I suggest you do this. I think I've said this a million times, but every time I do it, it's enlightening. But at some point later on, you should literally just go and hold your breath. It's such a funny experience. To me, it's the dieting experience in a minute, because you start off, and this is so weird, you just like, it's not even that bad. I'm going to be able to hold my breath for a long time. And then, you know, 20 seconds go by, 30 seconds go by, and then you start getting a little nervous. You start thinking about it. And then another 10 seconds go by and you're like, oh my God. And then you start freaking out, and then you take a breath. And that to me is kind of like what trying to like not eat feels like. Okay. So what I say to you, Pat, is sometimes when I'm really stressed, I just say it doesn't matter. And you're always going to say that. So the solution is to manage the stress. Right? Again, I like the example, like when you're really drunk, right? Go drink a bottle of wine or a bottle of whiskey, and then try and control your behavior. Right? Well, people say, well, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. You're not going to be able to. Well, it's the same thing when you're stressed, starving, dehydrated, malnourished. Right? It's the same thing. So that should not be the goal. Okay. So yeah, that's what I would suggest, is that you manage the stress, you manage the hunger, you manage your hydration, right? You nourish your body. Okay. Those are the solutions. So, all right. So this is what I want to talk about, because there's going to be big changes. And so I hope that'll work for you, because I love this group and I would love this to continue. But I want it to change, because I know it can be better. And so this is what's happening. This Program Yourself Then Weekly, or Platinum, whichever you want to call it, is going to change. And so what I mean by that is that these weekly lessons are still going to be happening, but they are going to be free. So I'm going to release them on a YouTube channel. They'll be available as a podcast. The screens, the keynote slides will be available. So those you'll still get. They won't be on Tuesday nights, though. Instead, what's going to happen is I'm replacing it with a program called Program Yourself Then Thrive. And so what this is it's really a group coaching program. And so what this means is the Tuesday night calls like this here are actually going to be done. And I believe some of you are already, you're using Zoom already, I believe, together. So if you understand that, it basically gives you the opportunity to actually get on the phone. And so what that means is we can actually talk to each other. And I know that is going to create much, much, much better results. What else is going to happen is that you're also going to get a success planner that is going to be mailed to you. And as a matter of fact, they just went out today. I wanted to get them out earlier, but it is what it is. So you should get them by Friday, Saturday in the mail, and you'll see what it is. But basically, it's a daily success tracker. And so each day, in less than 60 seconds, you can really give yourself kind of a snapshot of how the day went, what went well, what didn't go well, what can be improved upon. And I know for a fact that tracking, in addition to getting on the phone with me when you're feeling stuck or you got some issue, and we can actually talk one-on-one, you know, going back and forth, is going to get you much, much better results. In addition to that, there's going to be a private members area, and each month there's going to be a lesson, and it's really going to cover the fundamentals. Right? So it's really mastering the fundamentals, getting started, motivation, eating, confidence, you know what I mean? Just the real core fundamental aspects of mastering your weight. And so you will get that as well. The Facebook group is going to be kind of relaunched, and that'll be an aspect of it as well. So that'll be there to help you out as well. So here's the deal. Again, it's more expensive, right? So I'll let you know this, but again, you're going to get all this stuff for free anyways. So at the end of the day, you're going to continue to get what you've been getting, but it's just going to be, it's not going to cost you anything. If you want to do the coaching program, and again, this is for people that aren't already working with me privately, it is $297, but there is a one-time, I'm going to give you guys a special deal. You guys have been with me for a while. So I want to respect that. And so there's a 50% discount, you know, for anyone that wants to get signed up with that. And again, that's anyone that signs up within the next month or so, because again, I want to get the February planners out on time and everything. And so again, if you're interested, I'm going to send out an email tomorrow, a little more information. If you have any questions, please contact me. If financially that's too much for you, please contact me. Okay. Cause again, you guys have been here for a while here. So I'm happy to work with you I want all of you in the program. Okay. So we'll make it work one way or the other. But I know this is going to be a better program. I know for a fact. So we'll be able to get on the phone every week and actually talk to each other. And, I think you're gonna like it. And yet you'll still have access to these slides and stuff. They might be a little snappier and a little quicker, but no one minds that, I'm sure. And so we'll still have the opportunity to kind of connect here on Tuesday nights, I hope, for all of you, you know. I will say this, let me say this, because I know everyone usually group stuff, I'm kind of shy, I don't like to get on. Don't worry about that. You know, we can use different names, right? You could literally give a fake name. B, I think what you'll quickly realize is everyone's got the same issues and challenges and no one cares, you know, what yours are. No one's really know who you are. So I hope to see you all there. So anyways, I believe, there'll be no one's going to be charged anymore. So if you've been paying for PYT weekly, those charges will stop as of today. There will be no more charging on that. Again, if you're interested in the PYT Thrive, you'll get some info on that coming soon. That's right, Connie. I know you're not shy, Connie. So, I think it's going to be pretty good, to get people on the phone and to hear other people too. I think, you know, I can help you guys move through stuff real quick, and it's just a lot easier when people are on the phone as opposed to just writing in. I think it's going to be a lot more valuable. So, all right. Yeah. I don't know if you have any questions about that. Just shoot them into the box or email me at jim@programyourselfthin.com. Yeah. Well, we might start it next week, you know, cause again, I want to give you guys a test drive of it anyways. That's why I sent you guys the planners. You'll get access to the first lesson, the first month's lesson, in the members area. You'll get that within the next week here. And then, I'm still deciding we might do one more, week like this, but we might go to Zoom as well. And if we go to Zoom next week, again, it's pretty simple, right? So, if you know how to use it, you can connect through the phone. You can call in with your phone. Did I just say you can connect to the phone? You can connect through your computer or you can call in on the phone, right? And you can raise your hand and talk to me and whatever. So it's pretty easy. So we might start that next week. You know, just to see how that goes. And again, like I said, if you have any questions, just shoot me a message. I want to get you guys all in there. And keep this going. But I think this is gonna crank it up to another level. And I think for those of you that aren't working with me privately, you know, I think the opportunity to get on the phone and just talk one-on-one is enormously helpful. Yeah. So all right, cool. All right, everyone. Have a great super duper week. I'll be in touch with you through email. Enjoy the planners. And by the way, too, with the planners, this is kind of my first stab at it. It came out pretty good, but if you have any feedback, positive or negative, I'm all ears. Okay. I want to make this as good as possible, but I'm excited. I've done digital trackers before, but digital is digital, right? And so having something, you know, that you're writing with a pen and paper, I think is a lot better. So I think you're going to enjoy it, but, you know, let me know, what you think from them. All right. All right, everyone, have a great week and we'll talk next Tuesday. Good night.